so weary. When troubles come and my heart burdened be, then I am still and wait here in the silence until you come and sit a while with me. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. Me up to more than I can be. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I shoulders, you raise me up to more than I can be.
Our sermon today is based on a continuation of the reading that we heard earlier from Luke chapter 9, verses 28 through 36. Now, about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. Thank you, God, for sending Jesus to us, the Savior we need, the transforming light of our lives. There are several biblical scenes involving Jesus that I would love to have been present at, like the feeding of the 5,000 with the loaves and fishes, or when Jesus walked on the Sea of Galilee. I like to think I might have ventured out of the boat with Peter, or the raising of Lazarus. This moment too, this time of Jesus's transfiguration, this moment is one that would have been awesome to witness. The words describing it just don't do it justice. Imagine it. Imagine that dazzling light and emanating from Jesus, blinding but comforting at the same time, scary and yet warm as well. There was Jesus, glistening, gleaming, glorious. And oh, to see Moses and Elijah too, how awesome would that be? To think Peter, James, and John, the lucky three Jesus brought up the mountain with him, to think they almost missed it. They were sleepy, nodding off. It was a long, hard climb up that mountain. But the sudden flash of light as Jesus was transfigured jolted them wide awake. But you know, I would be all in favor of not calling this a transfiguration anymore. I'm beginning to think it was more of a breaking out, a letting loose. Jesus had been bottling up his glory all these years, the glory he had possessed when he was with God. He didn't let it leak out or show even a little bit, because even a little bit of his glory would have been too much for mere human beings to stand. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai after talking to God and receiving the stone tablets with the Ten Commandments on them, his face was shining so brightly with joy and awe that no one could bear to look at him. Moses had to wear a veil for a while to shield people from the brightness. If Jesus had gone around with his glory blazing for all to see, people would have been afraid to approach him. So this was Jesus' summit surprise, a chance to release some of that pent-up glow for once, to, in a sense, let his hair down and be what he was meant to be, to reclaim the glory he had to suppress for now. How lucky were Peter and James and John to witness this, but as they often did, they totally missed the whole point of what they saw and what it meant. One commentator often calls them the disciples. For Peter, the first thing he thought of doing was to build three tabernacles or tents or dwellings for the powerful trio so they could live forever up there on that mountain. Moses and Elijah were about to leave to return to heaven, and Peter decided, no, you can't go. Let's keep you right here, all three of you. What if we built each of you your very own dwelling? Wouldn't that be cool? Wouldn't you like that? Would that make you stay? Peter, bless his heart, often blurted out inanities without thinking. So just how were they going to build those tabernacles? Were Moses and Elijah and Jesus supposed to wait there while he and the other disciple raced down the mountain and dragged all the supplies they needed back up the very steep, very high mountain, stakes and staves and cloths and coverings? And then were they supposed to wait as the disciples built shelters for them? And then what, Peter? Would you place Moses in a tent and Elijah in a tent and Jesus in a tent and advertise it like it was some carnival sideshow? Hurry, 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 step right up and see the amazing Moses and the enigmatic Elijah and the marvelous Messiah right here before your very eyes. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Would Moses have many replicas of the stone tablets with the Ten Commandments on them to autograph and sell? Would Elijah have many replicas of the chariot of fire and the horses of fire that took him to heaven? Would there be t-shirts and hats to buy and those little snow globes with tiny figures of Moses and Jesus and Elijah in them, and you could shake them and make fake snow fall on them? Was Peter envisioning crowds winding up the mountainside to gawk at the sacred trio and having them just sit there so people could come and stare at them? It would indeed turn into a circus. Yeah, put them right next to the bearded lady and the wild man from Borneo and the two-headed calf, other fascinating attractions for people to come and stare at. And don't forget the cotton candy. Gotta get your money's worth of it. Of course, that was not what Jesus was about. He was not a sideshow attraction. He was a man of action. God had sent him to do great deeds of power and healing and redemption for people right where they were. He didn't expect them to come up that daunting mountain to him. He was going down the mountain to them. He would not be confined to this one place and this one space just to satisfy Peter's selfish whim. Peter wanted to keep Jesus and Moses and Elijah all to himself. He especially didn't want Jesus to go away. The scripture started out saying, after these sayings, and those sayings were Jesus' stark warning to the 12 disciples that soon he was going to Jerusalem and there he would be arrested, tried, and crucified. He kept telling them that. Peter heard what Jesus said, but he didn't listen to him because he didn't want to hear bad news like that. Peter had a wonderful talent for pushing aside unpleasantness and focusing on what he wanted Jesus to say and do, what he wanted to happen to Jesus. This is why the voice came from the cloud, God's own voice, to rein Peter in. This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him. Listen when he tells you what is going to happen to him. Yes, he says something terrible and tragic will happen, but he also says something marvelous and awesome will happen 3 days later. Just you wait and see. Listen to him and stop trying to downplay his prediction. Listen to him and find out what he wants you to do to prepare. Listen to him and stop trying to make your own plans. Listen to him. Peter wanted the wonderful moment to last, and we can understand why, but it couldn't last. It wasn't meant to last any longer than it did. Why did Peter think it was such a good idea to keep Jesus in just that one place to keep him safe? Sometimes we get selfish about Jesus, my Savior, my Redeemer, when it really is our Savior, our Redeemer. We don't own him exclusively. We cannot dictate to Jesus where he should go or who he should seek or where he should stay. We are called to follow him wherever he goes and, again, to listen to him. Jesus couldn't stay on that mountaintop. There is no dwelling on earth that could harness his glory. Jesus knew he still had work to do down at the foot of the mountain, down in the real world. He had things to do before he made his final foray into Jerusalem, knowing what lay ahead of him. Thank God Jesus is not the kind of Savior who holds himself aloof from us, refusing to get his hands dirty, refusing to walk among us lowly human beings, refusing to touch or love us. Thank God Jesus didn't want to stay on that mountain, no matter how fancy a dwelling Peter might have created for him. His work had to continue down among the people to whom God had sent him. He would contain his glory again, but he would not be contained in a tabernacle far from the people he loved. So let us try not to contain or restrain Jesus as he goes about his God-given work. Let us listen to his voice and let us rejoice that he has called us to see his glory and to work with him at the bottom of the mountain, teaching, reaching, touching, and loving. Let the crowd of his serenity and security enfold us and embolden us to carry on his work. Even though Peter said it was good for him and the others to be there that day, to witness this release of glory and the appearance of the great lawgiver Moses and the great prophet Elijah, Peter really didn't get it, did he? Jesus was going to bridge the gap between the law and the prophets with his upcoming death. The past and the future for one glorious moment were together in the present. For here was the one Moses had pointed to long, long ago, telling the Israelites in Deuteronomy 18:15, a prophet from your people, like me, the Lord your God will raise up for you. You will listen to him. Yes, you must listen to him, even when he says things you don't want to hear. Jesus couldn't stay on that mountain. His destiny lay below, and so he had to go. Three dwellings on an almost inaccessible mountaintop were not the perfect places for the Holy Trio. We know the best dwelling for Jesus, at least, is in our very own transformed hearts. Let us pray. Dear God, fill our hearts with the glory and the power of Jesus Christ. Let the cloud from the Mount of Transfiguration settle on us and cover us. Open our ears to hear your voice. May we never try to keep Jesus all to ourselves. Teach us to share his light and his love with others so they too may come to know and do your will and follow the Christ you have sent to us.
When I'm down and all my soul so weary, when troubles come and my heart burden be, then I am still and wait here in the silence until you come and sit a while with me. When I am on your can be. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise